Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, we got an emergency podcast. Just a short one here. I'm sitting here with Jared Jerome, who I just sat next to for 2 hours at a basketball. Well, more than that, actually, from standing in line until the game was over, like 4 hours, 5 hours, something like that. Jared, give me your immediate takeaway from that game, which, by the way, we're talking about the number one ranked in Division III Yeshiva Maccabees losing 59-73 to the number four ranked Illinois Wesleyan University.
Yeah, of course, everybody would know that's the exact game around the country we'd be talking about.
Yes, of course.
It's funny, as we were walking out of the game, you know, like it was like an intense game and was really, you know, into it and everybody was talking about it and everything. And like the first thing I said to Alex was like, so where's the podcast I could listen to now, analyzing and breaking down the game? Little did I know I would have to listen to myself breaking down the game. That's the only podcast you're going to find, I guess. Although they do have some. I think a couple of them have cropped up, right? In fact, the guy behind us, I don't know if you know that, but the guy behind us was the guy who was on.
Yeah, I listened to him actually already. Yeah, he did live right after the game. Yeah, not Tom.
Right. Oh, you mean like tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So you actually did find someone.
Yeah, and I was listening to it for the last like 45 minutes. Yeah.
All right. Oh, cool.
I agree with some of their takes. I disagree with some of their takes.
Yeah. Now, so, I mean,
let's get to the big headline of the late breaking news after the game, which is that their next game is canceled.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
But they were supposed to play number 17 Williams on Sunday. Big chance for a bounce back. And, you know, the big question coming out of this game is, well, where will number one ranked Yeshiva be ranked? Where will they drop to? And, you know, lose this game. They lost by 14, but really it was more than that. 14 is the closest they were within Illinois Wesleyan in the last three quarters of the game.
Right.
But then if you beat number 17 Williams, you know, especially if you beat them handily, you know, you'll still probably be in the top 10, hopefully something like that. Now this is the only game they have until for basically a month. So I'm afraid that they're going to fall. I mean, I don't know. Do you think they stay in the top 20?
Right. So before I get to that, and I'm not an expert on Division III basketball. This is the first like foray into the topic of mine. So I don't know.
You've been very active in a chat. And,
well, I love basketball and I've watched all the YU games and I know the team like the back of my hand. And I know all the nuances of the team and the style and everything like that. But I'm just saying, I don't have like a good sense of the broader scale of how these things work. But to answer the question, like, it's not really important to me, like where they rank in the top 25. So as listeners, if the listeners of the podcast listen to the previous podcast talking about, you know, previewing this game, it's getting full coverage here at 32 fans. You know, like, you know, the team is on a 50 game winning streak. So if a team is on a 50 game winning streak, the goal is to win a national championship. The goal is to continue the winning streak for as long as possible. Now, that's winning streak has spanned over 3 years, you know, like a miniature year last year with the COVID shortened year. And then, as Akiva said in the last podcast, they lost the first game 2 years ago, then won their last 27.
But hold on a second. In order to win the national championship, you have to make the conference. You have to make the tournament, excuse me. And unless they win their conference tournament, which they probably will be favored in all those games. But if they were to lose after this loss today, unless the Williams game is made up, I don't think they would make the conference as an at-large bid.
I want to wait to talk about that in a second because I agree with you. I agree with you. But to me, I'm putting the card ahead. So let me just review for the people that don't know. So they won they won their last 27 games in the year that led into COVID, which then canceled the tournament. They won they were in the NCAA tournament, the NCAA Division III tournament. They won their first round game and their second round game by like over 20 both games. They blew the teams out. I think they scored over 100 in both games. It's like a crazy dynamic offense. Incredible
now also, can we acknowledge that this team is not as good as that team?
That's my opinion. People disagree with me.
You could argue that Terrell is better, and I certainly hope that he would be, you know, their best player, the supposedly best player in the country. But Lifer is significantly worse.
Agreed.
Lifer was an unquestioned first team All-American 2 years ago.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, this gets into the real nitty gritty of the rosters and whatever. I agree with you, but most of the people in a chat we have on the topic were kind of disagreeing with me. So they said it's a debate because some guys have gotten better from that team over 2 years, but they lost like a superstar they had in that team that they didn't really replace.
They replaced him with his brother, but his brother's good, but not as good.
No, but his brother was on that team and his brother was good on that team. So whatever, we can get into all the
So his brother's not really replacing. Really, you could say, is it, I mean, so Ofek Reef was supposed to be like their third star basically. And then he did absolutely nothing tonight. He barely played.
Right. So one thing at a time. Just to catch up. So like I said, they won the last 27 games that year. They won the two tournament games. It got canceled. So they never lost. The next year was last year. It was like a fake year or whatever. I didn't really pay any attention to it because it was no light at the end of the tunnel for anybody. They just scheduled 7 random games against teams that were also trying to play games because it was nothing official. It was going to be no tournament. They won all 7 games. And then they won the first 14 games, I think, of this year. If that equals 50, then the numbers are correct.
Yep.
Now, most of the games are against poor teams, but that's not YU's fault. It just happens to be that the conference that they're in is very weak, and therefore most of the games they play are relatively easy, certainly for them. Now, as you guys talked about last time, that wasn't always the case. They were the bottom feeders of the bad conference for the last 50 years, you know, leading up till 3 years ago. But now they're much better than all of those teams, and they beat them by a lot. Okay, so where does that bring us? That brought us to this game against a team in a powerhouse conference in Illinois, and basically every team this game plays against its conference foes is usually like a close game. Now, they're arguably the best team in the conference, but, you know, like you'll get in the SEC or the Big East or the ACC, the games are relatively close. Yeah, Duke might blow out Maryland one game, but generally speaking, the games are 10, 12, point games, 5-point games, and that's what this team plays in its conference. So we, as YU fans and as newbies to the scene of all this, and really anybody, didn't know, you know, how these two teams would fare against each other. Is like YU so much better than these bad teams that they're going to be as good as this team and much better, so they could have blown this team out? Or maybe this team is just too physical, too big, too strong, too athletic, too good, and they would blow YU out, or it would be a close game, right? And I honestly didn't know, and really nobody knew. So there was a lot of variance in the game, you know, not just variance from game to game, where any NBA team could beat another NBA team by 25 points, but just variance in the talent. Like, we just didn't know, and really nobody knew. Even the experts of the experts were saying, it's about like a 3-point line. YU is favored by 3. IWU is favored by 3. So we didn't know. It could have been anything. And what happened was, we come into the gym, and I was like, I just hope they just don't get kicked in the mouth. Like, they're not ready for this, and the whole thing is like a waste. And that's exactly what happened, right? So now, getting to the specific game that we just watched, like, you know, YU comes in, you know, and beforehand I was like matching up all the players and their sizes and their skills and their stats and everything like that. And it seemed pretty fair. And I understand, as I talked about the schedule differences, but it seemed like they're relatively close in size and they're relatively close in, like, you know, a star big man and a star guard and a point guard that can hit the open three. And it seemed like it was a good matchup. And again, everybody agreed with this, including experts who know much more than me. But what happened was, it's just a different level. They just got kicked in the mouth, and this team, like, they won the tip and they like hit a three on the first possession. And then like YU, like, then they like started pressuring YU, which they're not used to. And they don't have like the ball handlers to necessarily be comfortable in that. And they couldn't get into their offensive sets. And to get a little specific, now, you were mentioning Lifer before. So what Lifer does now is basically their offense is, Lifer comes in the high post. Think of like Jokic, right? They throw it to him.
Yeah, but there's a difference between 14 feet away from the basket and 20 feet away from the
basket.
Right,
so that's what I'm saying. So
that's
usually
number
gets,
one. Yeah.
Right, so he gets 14 feet away from the basket. They throw it down to him. He basically doesn't even look to score. He looks around, and he is really a brilliant passer. He's about 6'5", 6'6". He's a big man. He averages, like, as you guys talked about, he used to average like 18 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. Now he averages like 10 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists. So he just kind of doesn't score anymore. A lot of that has to do with the system they run, and that's this. So they give him the ball. As I used to say, he used to be Jokic. Now he's offensively Draymond Green, right? So they're always running the offense. They're theoretically running the offense through the high post through him, but he just used to score. Now he doesn't. But the point is, and as you just alluded to, this team didn't even let him catch the ball inside the 3-point line. So that was taken out of the mix. And what he usually does, he catches it there, the defense collapses, and he spots the open 3-point shooter or the backdoor cutter. And why you basically shoot 65% as a team from the field, just based on backdoor cut layups, and wide open threes, and they have great shooters all around the court, and that's what makes them so dominant against these teams they're playing against, why they win by 30 normally. This team just complete, obviously they did their scouting, they put pressure on the ball, they pushed him out, they didn't let him catch it there, they had to go to other options. Their superstar, Ryan Terrell, was being guarded by the guy who everybody in the know says is literally the best wing defender in the country on this level.
And absolutely prove that.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You talk a little bit. I mean, talk about this guy's defense.
Yeah, I mean, he just completely got in Terrell's face, and Terrell has clearly never faced anybody like this before, and he just couldn't handle it, honestly. And I don't know if it's because Terrell has been the best guy on every court he's played in so long that he's just not used to it, or whether it's just because he can't overcome a guy like this. So I don't know whether you gave him another shot, whether he would do better or not. But I mean, the guy was extraordinarily strong. I mean, as you put out, his arms were like twice as big, and he was extraordinarily quick. And
he knows how to play defense. Like, yeah, he bodies you. And then when you finally say, okay, let me be aggressive with you back and back him down, he drops and you get a charge call.
Yeah. And that was a flop, to be fair, 100%. But like, that's also good defense, and a good defense earns that flop.
Exactly. That's good defense. That's what guys do. I mean,
and then the other depressing thing, you know, Terrell shot 8 for 15 in the game and still had
22 unbelievable.
Points.
It did not seem like that. Right.
I would say that if he had shot 8 for 30, he would have had a better game than if he had shot 8 for 15, because the problem is, like, the focus should not be on his efficiency or his good field goal percentage. Like, they needed him to be more in the first half. He just shied away. Like, he was getting shut down so intensely that he basically just stopped, you know, coming and demanding the ball. And part of that is coaching, for sure. And, you know, we should talk about how the guy defending him said in his post-game interview that they practiced nothing but beating Yeshiva for the last 10 days. They knew Yeshiva's offense inside and out and defense, and it showed. And then, you know, Terrell got going, and he had a couple of spurts in the second half. And but then even like in the last 10 minutes of the game, and it was over, of course, although, you know, while he was trying to close the score a little bit, they had other guys covering him, and he wasn't really aggressive enough at that point. And again, it's a combination of coaching, a combination of just punched in the mouth, as you said.
And at the risk of sounding too much like Bill Simmons, but we were definitely doing this. I mean, like, it's so easy to read the body language and the facial expressions of these kids. Like, yeah, it was so obvious. And I've watched every game they've played.
And it's so much more impactful at a lower level than it is at a higher level.
Yes. Right. So like, right. So when you get
and
to
in
the
person,
NBA
you
level,
pick it up so much more than on TV.
Yes. And again, this is literally what Simmons says, and people make fun of him. I don't, though, because I believe in this stuff like
but
crazy.
I also think at the NBA level, it's different, because, I mean, yes, there are guys who are affected like that at the NBA level, but those guys are almost like, by definition, not stars, because you shouldn't be. And by the way, Karl Anthony Towns is an example of that, unfortunately.
Well, so right. So Karl Anthony, not to get too off the beaten path here, but Karl Anthony Towns is a superstar talent, but that does affect him. So people say, oh, you know, this goes to the whole clutch argument in sports, and people make this fat.
Well,
this
no, the clutch is a completely different thing.
It's a little different
than having emotional maturity.
It's a little different, but it's the idea of taking emotion and personality out of performance. And people would say, and
yeah, but clutch doesn't decide whether you hit a three or miss a three.
Not on a one-to-one individual basis, but it can mess. But here's the point that I'm trying to make: emotions of human beings affect the way they play no matter what level they're on.
Sure.
So in other words, people say, oh, but to get to this level, talking about, let's say, an NBA player, a Major League Baseball player, let's say someone says Aaron Judge isn't clutch. Let's just say that. So say, oh, to get to the level that Aaron Judge is at, he has to be clutch, because look at all the levels he's at. Well, that's true. He's great, but that doesn't mean at the peak level he can't shrivel up. I'm not saying he does, but in theory. Now there's arguments of if this could be measured and how do you measure it in small sample sizes. I understand all that kind of stuff, but there's no doubt that no matter who you are, whether it's me and you playing amateur pickup ball,
but I don't know how we got into a whole debate about momentum here. This is kind of ridiculous. Like, every time YU had a run and then the other team would stop it, what happened? I thought YU had momentum. Like, we're not debating momentum. We're talking about a different thing, which is momentum can then result in you not trying as hard or
yes. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying some godly effect of momentum.
But I'm talking about
the shooting.
The shooting in this game, one team, in the first half, they hit two-thirds of their threes, and this is not a good shooting team. I think they shoot 33% of their threes regularly. In the second half, they shot 1 for 9. Well, that's a big reason why YU outscored them by six in the second half. It's not that YU played better. It's that they shot 1 for 9 in 3s instead of 8 for 12.
Right. And as you recall, I said in the first half, I said this shooting will not continue. And YU, in theory, might get hot because they're actually a much better shooting team, again, by the numbers. Not
But they built a big enough cushion that it didn't matter.
But it's what concerned me was the clear difference in intensity and physicality of the two teams. It was like watching a JV team play a varsity team, if not a bigger disparity. And yeah, so we were talking about
Terrell. Well, I agree with you about that, but I also think, again, like YU missed so many open layups and YU missed a lot of open threes. Now, part of it also, to be frank, like in the last in the last 10 minutes of the game, they intentionally slowed it down offensively. And so they take 30 seconds off the clock and then maybe they'd shoot not the highest percentage shot. And
why you're talking about the other team.
Yeah. And YU's fans would be applauding so excitedly about the defensive stop. And I'm like, well, this is like burning clock in football. This is almost a strategy. You're up by 20 with 6 minutes to go. Just take 30 seconds off the clock. It doesn't matter if you score or not. So,
So, I mean, the fact that YU outscored them by 7 in the second half does not mean YU outplayed them in the second half. And obviously, everybody knows if a team is up by 20, and this team still was playing intense, but if a team is up by
20. They kept their starters until the very end.
Right. Well, I don't even mean that. I mean, just like we all watch basketball. Like teams go up by 20, the other team closes it to 8, then the team makes 2 big shots and they put the game on ice, right? So that happens all the time. It's
conversely, the team goes to come back. And then either way, retroactively, we make up stories about momentum or not momentum. So
Forget the momentum. I didn't want to get into a whole argument on momentum. Forget about that. I was just saying, let's go back to how that topic came up, right? Because this is very important. So the question, and you asked a very good question. If Terrell, the star for YU and the person who even the IWU fans say is by far the best player in all Division III. That means including all the guys he just lost to. Yeah. If he had a few more shots at this guy, Lambesis, the guy who was guarding him, would it be different? It's a very good question because what I think happened is where I was getting into with the body language and reading his facial expression. He's not a cocky kid at all, Terrell. He's like a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Like
he's a nice kid. Yeah.
He's a nice kid and he doesn't like it.
He doesn't have the Kobe, MJ, KG, psychotic.
He's not an emotional kind of player normally. He scored 51 in a game, but he wasn't making a big deal about it. He scores 40 in a game. He's just making his shots, running back on defense.
Other than him and Leifer, everybody else on YU's team is pretty emotional. And certainly was.
I agree. A lot of the guys were. But so he's not that kind of guy. And usually he plays the game with a smile, not showing guys up. He doesn't, not flashy. He's playing the game. He looks relaxed. He looks calm. He's in his rhythm.
I mean, he hits pull up threes and he hits like reverse dunks.
I was just going to say, he hits pull up threes. He's got like an array of Hakeem Olajuwon post up moves, like no joke. Like in the fast break, he's throwing down reverse jams with the ball being brought down to his knees and flushing it in. And he has the whole package and all this kind of stuff. And he hits tough shots. It's shots within the flow of the game and everything like that. And what happened was, in the first time out, we saw him walk right in front of us, 20 feet away. And he was like, he had a look, he was huffing and puffing.
2 minutes into the game, totally gassed.
3 minutes into the game, and he had a look of bewilderment on his face. He's like, what the hell is going on? Like, I've never seen this before. Yeah. Now, if he was prepared for that, could he be like, he's not a strong kid. He's a skinny guy. He's probably 6'5" and a half, 190 or something like that. That would be my estimate. He's a skinny kid.
He weighs less than that.
All right, 180, whatever. Yeah. I don't know about that. He's pretty tall. Whatever. He's a skinny kid. Yeah. And the guy guarding him wasn't like a beast, but he was like a built, tough, strong kid with thicker legs and thicker arms and everything like that.
But isn't this on coaching more than anything else? Because Terrell has played big guys and strong guys before. Maybe not strong guys as quick, but.
Well, I think this guy was just really, really good. Like, he was just a great defensive player. I was saying to the guys around us, like, and you probably as well, like, this other kid, the kid who caught him, like, I'm not saying he's a Division I player. He's probably not. He's not a big scorer. He happened to, like, hit, a, you know, I think he was like five. I think I looked, he was five.
Oh, he hit everything today, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed that way. But yeah, I mean, he's not a great offensive player, but he can make a shot if you leave him open, and he can hit a couple step back plays, whatever. He's like a decent offensive player, but
this was the best game of his career, I would guess. But I don't know anything about his career. So
I don't know. I know, according to Quillman.
Not offensively, but defensively. Yeah.
Well, again, according to Quillman, he said he completely shut down like the other known stars in Division III. Mm. And listen, at the end of the day, Terrell did go 8 for 15. 3 for 6 from 3 and 3 for 3 from the line, which is what, 16,
22 points,
which for him is a bad game. He averages 30, but an efficient 22 points. And it looked like he was miserable out there. So it just goes to show how talented he is as well. But the guy was just an incredible. Also, I was saying, and we don't know this, but like this kid to me, Lambesis for IWU, I think he like legitimately would be a good guard defender in Division One. I don't know that for sure, but like I just think he's that talented.
For sure. Now, could he play against a top 25 team? Maybe not, but I mean, his defense was just unbelievable.
Like you saw, there was a car, like you couldn't even get an entry pass into Terrell. He would like jump the lane perfectly. There was a couple little plays I saw, like where he did backdoor. Terrell did like a backdoor cut, and he covered it. Like all the plays that YU does all the time that always work. This guy was on everything, and he was physical, and he was aggressive and quick, like you said, with good hands. It was crazy. It was really crazy. And like I said, Terrell still statistically had a good game. You want Terrell to like. So we were saying like it's, at some point, is the desire to like be a star and like the competitiveness is at some point, is it going to kick in and he's just going to be like, F this, I'm going at this guy. And then I said to you, like, we've played, like, if somebody's just much better than you and stronger than you, like, you just kind of give up. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? So like
you're talking about you and me. The whole point is we're not elite athletes. So
right,
he's supposed to behave differently than us.
But I think it's all relative, right? So like if I don't know, let me give you an example. Iman Shumpert is being guarded by prime, you know, LeBron James on defense. Iman Shumpert is an elite athlete, right? But what is he going to do, right? Is he just going to take terrible shots every time against LeBron James? Or but is he going to like...
It's very different, though, because of the expectations on Iman Shumpert within the team and within the league,
right?
Like, Iman Shumpert knows his role is not to be, like, the driver of the offense.
Right, that's a good point. So
if your responsibility is to score 30 a night, then... And a guy is completely shutting you down, you have to find a way to force it anyways. Again, I would have rather see him shoot 8 for 30 tonight than 8 for 15.
You would have rather seen it, but you admit it wouldn't have been better. It wouldn't have helped them win.
Well, assuming he's going to miss all 15 of those shots, I think he would have made some of those shots. He would not have made. He would. His shooting percentage would have gone down, but it's not like anyone else's offense was better. Like their other offensive options were terrible.
Right. And to be clear, I don't think either of us are saying that he was like shying away from shooting because he was trying to keep his efficiency high. Right.
No, not at all. I don't think he was thinking of that at all. No, for sure not.
Right. Yeah. So it's funny. Actually, at some point, there was a timeout called. And as he was walking back to the bench, they announced like, Ryan Terrell has now become the third all-time leading scorer. And he literally just like shrugged his hand aside, like, oh, why are you bringing it up now? Like, that's embarrassing. I'm being blown out and I can't move. You know what I mean? So it shows he's not that kind of kid.
The third highest score in Division III history?
No, in YU history.
He's only third? How is he not first already?
Because he's only played 2.5 years.
Oh, because he's had so many games canceled because of COVID, I guess. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So
how many more points does he need to get it?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but he'll get it by the end of this year.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm
just really disappointed that the Williams game is canceled because I really wanted to see how is his team going to respond to this.
Okay, right. So that was the topic you brought. So that's an interesting thing. So to me, I'm not interested because I care where YU is ranked. I now know. So YU is ranked number one going into this game, which is fair because they won 50 in a row, and there's no reason to assume that they weren't up to the level of these other teams. Now we know they're not. Now anyone who watched this game is blatantly obvious that they're not on that level. So to me, does it matter if they're ranked 15th or 18th or 6th or 5th? I just know they're not up to snuff. I wanted them to keep the winning streak.
I'm not saying I care about the rating. What I'm saying is I want to know whether they have a chance against a team like this when they meet them in the tournament. Like, you know,
Williams.
Before this game, the expectation was that this team is going to win the national championship. I want to know, is that even possible? And if they played a ranked team in 3 days and beat them, I'd say, yes, it is possible. I don't know the answer.
I would say based on what we saw tonight, anything is possible, but it's basically not possible. Because unless this team is the best team by a mile, and they're not. So the thing with this team is, I mean, I don't think they are. Because the thing with, again, this team, Illinois Wesleyan, is that, as I said, I don't know. I don't have their thing in front of me. I could pull it up. But like let me do that. That's interesting. Because like in their
conference, they're 9-2. They've lost 2 games.
No, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm saying
they haven't
what
blown
the
teams
score
out.
Yeah. So I want to see what the scores are of their games. Do you have them in front of you or no?
No.
Okay, so let's pull that up because that's interesting. Because what I was gonna say is they're playing. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, you talk for a second while I look at that.
So yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, there is a Division III self-proclaimed expert on Twitter. I don't know. This is not a guy I ever heard of before 2 weeks ago. So I don't know but he actually said before the game, he said, you know, if both teams play their best game, YU is going to win. And he said after this game that he stands by this. And again, he's not a
really.
Yeah.
Chris, I think that's
we were discussing this in the equipment chat. Yeah. So I think that YU, if they played again, I think YU would win 30% of the games. I don't think they would win 0% or 10% or 20%. I think they'd win a third of the time. you know, again, like one of the teams shot 67% from threes in the first half and the other team shot 0 for 7, 0 for like why you did not make a three in the first half or something. So like when that happens, you're not going to win against anybody, period, at any level.
Yeah, I see it.
The 97 Bulls are going to lose to, you know, the current version of like the Houston Rockets if each team is shooting like that from three.
So what happened in this game was, like, to your point, so it was a combination of factors, I think, that caused what happened. Number one, as we talked about, like the intensity and strength and skill level of IWU that YU was not ready for and not prepared for. That combined with the fact that that IW just happened to get out hot, right? So as you said, they're not a good shooting team. And you could say because YU's defense is not as good as the teams are used to. In theory, that might be true. But the bottom line is they didn't have to knock down 8 of their first 12 threes, even if they're open threes,
and the
right?
difference, we saw both teams shoot an equal number, I would say, of open jumpers. And maybe they had a few more.
No, why, I don't know. I don't agree with
why that. Why you missed several open jumpers? Why you also forced
a couple? A couple. No, I don't agree with that.
I think actually that's more in the second half than the first half. In the second
half, things loosened up. And in the first half, why you got two good looks? That's what they got. Two good looks from three, and they missed both. But you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, so you hit one.
They also
you
missed a couple fast breaks. They did not have any fast break points at all compared to what they normally do.
And they usually have a lot. Yeah, this is a different team. It was a whole different kind of team. I don't agree with you. They beat this team 3 out of 10. I don't agree with that. I think 1.5 out of 10 or something.
Oh,
this team is just, this team is much more physically. They did not, as someone who's watched every game, YU plays this very specific kind of offense, right? So YU has a very good player on their team, Ofek Reef, right? He's averaging about 18 points a game. He's a guard. He's about 6'6", 1, very athletic.
What did he score today? 5?
I'm not sure.
He didn't even play 18 minutes.
Right. Well, they benched him. And what happened was, and the reason is what? So people behind me were saying, where's Ofek Reef? Why isn't he doing anything? The reason is he gets 90% of his points or whatever, I don't know exactly, but he gets most of his points on backdoor cuts. Like I said, they give it to Leifer in the high post. He either kicks it out the guys from three or he hits Reef or other guys on a backdoor cut. This team was not allowing backdoor cuts.
Well, we got to acknowledge, Leiritz, they might have the best center in the country, had 25 rebounds, breaking Jack Sigma's school record of 24.
That's insane. But yeah, so they weren't allowing this guy Reef to do what he normally does, that, and he goes out on the fast break and yams it. He wasn't able to do those two things, so he became an irrelevant player. You know, so it's like, you know, what do they say? Courses make, what is that phrase? You know,
I don't know what your phrase is, but I think you have to give. You have to lose. It's almost like fantasy football.
Horses for courses. So like, in other words, like, so it's not like, Reef usually averages 18 a game, but since his team is good, he's going to average 16 a game. No, it's Reef usually averages 18 a game, but since his team is so good, specifically in a way that shuts him down, he's going to get 2 points in this game and be benched for the second half. You know what I mean? That's the difference. Because it's not life or you, it's not Terrell usually gets 30 points, but because his team is so good, he's going to get 22 points. It's Terrell usually gets 30 points, and because his team is so good, he's going to get 22, but he's going to be out of it mentally. He's not going to play the same defense. He's going to be sulking. He's not going to, you know, like everything has an effect, like a down ballot effect and everything else. And that's what we saw in this game. And
I think you have to give him a chance to play through that. And I don't know if they really did.
What do you mean? Give who a chance?
Reef.
Yeah, I think he was getting.
Now,
A couple of guys were getting very emotional. Obviously, like YU, they won 15 in a row. They're not used to like getting their asses handed to them like this. And I felt bad for them. And like, because you saw like the looks on their face, like what the hell is going on? We're not used to this. You know, like when is the 17-0 run we always go on when we just blow the team away? And it was just never going to come.
Do you know what the rebounding differential was in this game?
I didn't check anything. I just drove home and went on with you.
42-21.
Yeah, and we saw it in the game. Again, that's what I'm saying. Yeshiva, it was a physicality mismatch.
Yeshiva had 21 rebounds. One player on Wesleyan had 25.
Did that seem like he had 25 rebounds to you? That's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's the difference. You know, YU never had a second chance ever.
Yeah.
How many offensive rebounds did they have in this game? They had 5, it says. And even that shocks me, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was, but you don't agree with me. I think we're a little bit different on how much of a physicality mismatch this was.
Oh, no, I think it was massive. But the question is why are you able to learn from that and react to that or not?
I don't think they have the physical ability to do it. I guess you're right.
Let's start at the top with Terrell. If Terrell is obviously not an NBA caliber player, that's absurd.
Yes.
But even to the, there was a couple of NBA scouts at this game. To the extent that they even in a million years would want to consider that, like, again, he has to play through. He cannot attempt 15 shots in this game. His usage rate has to be way higher.
Yeah.
15 shots, just, two assists, just, by the way, three turnovers. He's got to have 10 turnovers. I'm sorry. He's got to be trying. Like, he's, that's on the coaching, but that's also on if he is truly that elite of an athlete, we have to see that. And we didn't
right,
see that.
Right. So the way YU was played, and again, give him, I mean, this is the first time they've been, you know, they've been put into a position like this. So usually they just play within the flow. Like I say, they don't he doesn't ISO all day and like shoot a million shots to get his 40 points. He gets 40 super efficient points. Like I said, he shoots over 60% from the field. And this is a guard. You know what I mean? It's really crazy. He literally has not had an off shooting night all year. I think he was 7 for 17, one game. Every other game he shot over 50% of the field.
Crazy.
And he routinely goes 13 for 18, 14 for 21, 9 for 9. He went one game where they blew a team out and they only played the first half. Like, and again, it's not on dunks. It's not like Mitch Robinson going 9 for 9 or one of these rim runners. This is on,
it's like Duncan Robinson, like, going out.
What?
It's like Duncan Robinson. I'm switching Robinson's on you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, not, it's not even like Duncan Robinson. It's Duncan Robinson with a mix of like Akeem Olajuwon, with a mix of like Scottie Pippen on the break. Like, he really does it all in these games. And he's, and I even pointed out to you, like, he finally got it going a little bit in the second half. And he just was sort of doing what you were saying. He was like forcing these like off balance threes and contested twos. And he made a couple in a row because he's that talented, but he's not strong enough. He's not strong enough physically to get to another level that he needed to get to, right? At some point, if a guy is just much stronger than you and he's like pushing you out and you can't get to your spots, what are you going to do? You want him to just like take a fadeaway 25 footer and you're going to be happy? Like, you want him to take a lot of shots, but they have to be decent shots. He can't just fire it up from half court to say, you know, like, so that's the issue where like, what do you want him to do? Like, just, he would, if he started doing that and started like looking foolish and bricking, throwing the ball off the top of the backboard, you would say this is a disaster. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I just, so the question is, the next time around, would he be like, okay, I'm prepared for this. I got to just be a beast and I'm going to go beast mode as much as I can. But that's not how they play. They don't win like that. They win by everybody chipping in. And if guys are off, he takes over the game. You know what I mean?
Well, so guys were off and he didn't take over.
Because, well, they weren't off. They just weren't able to shoot.
Yeah.
This is a team that shoots like...
I mean, Jordan Armstrong, their biggest player, their center. Again, I mentioned that the center on the other team had 25 rebounds. Jordan Armstrong only played 9 minutes. The only stat he registered was one foul. So they saw that he was incapable and pulled him out, is one way to put it. Or another way to put it is, you know what? We got to try something. This guy has 25 freaking rebounds and our entire team has less than that. Like, we have to try something here. Like, throw Armstrong out there again just as a body. See if he can do anything.
Yeah, and... So I usually don't like – Jordan Armstrong is the biggest player in YU. He's 6'8". He's pretty strong, and he's very athletic. But he's, you know, for lack of a better word, he's a stiff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he could dunk. He could grab a rebound.
When the other guy has 25
– I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just giving a little background. So usually I don't like him playing because he's kind of – they don't need that against these other teams. And I like another guy with sort of a backup big who's shorter and thick as like a Mack truck, whose name is Zucker.
Yeah, Zucker got four rebounds.
So what happened was, they playing Zucker, and as you probably recall, I was complaining about constantly during the game, they were keeping him like outside of the 3-point line. So at that point, don't use either of them. In other words, like, try to beat this team, either try to go small and try to just beat them by shooting threes. But the team was just better. They were prepared for them. They didn't allow them to shoot threes. Finally, in the second half, they got a few open threes, but they were exhausted. You know what I mean? And they were spent physically and mentally, and you could say it was an off shooting night, but to me, it's circumstances sometimes dictate an off shooting night. You know, it's like confidence and being tired and using your forearms to set harder screens than you're used to setting and getting bashed on screens. And like I said, they couldn't. IWU was setting up their offense inside the 3-point arc, while YU was setting up their offense just inside the half court line. And by the time they got, you know, and there were possessions where they never got even a good look in 25 seconds. So you're right. There's a bunch of things they could have tried, and I'm sure they would try different things on different games, obviously. I mean, but to their credit, by the way, they battled back in the second half. The second half was a pretty even half, relatively speaking. As I said, the team was up 20, so they're not going to give their full intensity. But they were playing hard, and they were keeping all their starters in, and they were still, you know, still a good matchup. And why you did, so I guess that argues in your favor that sort of maybe if they had it again, but they were prepared for them, and the other team didn't start out on fire, why you could hang with them a little bit, even if they're not as physically gifted as they are. because Wyu is very talented. Okay, they're great shooters, they're great passers, they're good cutters, they're smart players, and you know, it's kind of like when a mid-major upsets a big school in in the NCAA tournament. How does it happen? Not by like manhandling them down low, by hitting a lot of deep threes. You know, Vermont burying these 25-footers.
Well, Wyu is not supposed to be that lower seeded team,
but they are. But they are. That's the point. They are. They weren't because they didn't play. But this isn't the NBA where you know how everybody is a pro player. This is two different areas of the country where Division III means two very different things. And what we learned, we didn't know it before the game, but we know now, or I do. Wyu is that mid-major team compared to this team. So could they upset them on a hot shooting night? Or
well, if that's the case, then they shouldn't be ranked in the top 25 at all.
So you can make that argument. That's why I said I'm not here to make judgments on the rankings. I don't care. I'm disappointed because now I know why you, a team that won 50 games in a row, cannot win the championship.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's likely, but you know,
interesting. Other than saying literally anything is possible,
they have this guy Lasko, who's a walk on, who basically looks like you or me. I mean, maybe you were me 20 years ago,
right?
and he's listed at 6'2". I doubt that's the case. But he was a walk-on at Indiana, like a school in the Big Ten. Not that he played, but, you know, he was...
Right, he never played, I think there may have been money involved. I've heard that, but because does not deserve to be... I mean, Indiana, everybody knows, is like a premier program. Yeah. So well, he obviously money, has no...
Why? Well, is his dad like Elon Musk? Like,
I don't know, but I've heard that. I don't know the details, but I've heard it. But maybe not. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. Fine.
Anyways, but then he transferred to Manhattan, which is a Division I school.
Right.
Exactly. And he played there for 3 years.
Right. And he was like a guy that came in garbage time, but he was a good shooter and he hit some like threes. And I think he shot like 40% in his career in Division One. And I think the point I'm getting
he comes off the bench. He's not a key player. He scores 7 points a game, but he was their best player tonight.
He wasn't their best player, but he was their player that it seemed was most prepared for this kind of intensity. That's what I would say.
I mean, he was trying, you know, and I wonder, is that just because he's played in Division One, so he's used to this level of athlete more?
I think so. Right. That makes a lot of sense. You know, he's playing the Hofstras of the world and the other So yeah, it's a big difference. I think he doesn't look it. He's not big. He's not strong. He looks like a baby, but as you said, he looks like us 20 years ago, but he's been on the court with big, strong guys like this. And the other guys, I guess, haven't. I guess they haven't. Or maybe they have. I don't know. You know, I don't want to speak out of school. But, you know, like, so it was very interesting to see that, as you said, him is a guy who comes off the bench and he's a good shooter and he's like a solid player and he's like a good, like, let's say, sixth man for them normally. But he looked most comfortable. He was like diving on the floor and he was like not being intimidated and he was like keeping his intensity level up, while the other guys, some of them, just looked shell-shocked. They looked shell-shocked, like, what is going on? Why are these guys so much stronger than me? What's going on? Usually I'm stronger than the other guy. Usually I'm taller than the other guy. Usually I score when I want to score. And now, like, I'm going on a fast break. It was the kind of thing, like, this is a team that's, like, so efficient and everything like that. And we saw it. There was, like, 5, 6, 7, 8 times where they had a fast break layup where they were basically looking behind them, waiting for the guy to, like, block the shot, and they ended up, like, missing the layup. It was, like, that level. It was, like, a bunch of old men. It was, like, me now playing. That's what it was like.
Yeah.
It was really eye-opening. It was very eye-opening. And, like, it took 5 minutes for me to say, like, not they can't win, but, like, wow, okay. That answered a lot of the questions we've been asking each other for the last month as we awaited this game. And, yeah, to your point about the Williams game, Williams is, like, the 17th ranked. So people were telling me today that, like, there's – again, so you have to understand, we're both newbies to Division III. Like, it's very different. It's not like Division I where, like, there's, like, about an even difference between, like, the top five teams and the next five teams and the next five teams. Apparently, there's, like, whatever it is, 4 teams, 5 teams, 8 teams that are, like, elite teams. And then the rest of the top 25 is much worse on any given year. You know what I mean? So it could very well be that YU is still the best of the best out of all those other secondary teams. You know what I mean? Because nobody shoots it like YU, and they do a lot of things that you just, you know, you see it on the court. They're playing against other college players. Like, they're really good things. And it could be that, and in fact, the guy, Natan Cohn is his name, who does a podcast for YU. I think the one you were talking about that you were listening to in the beginning of this conversation, he told me, like, the way that Williams plays, that's the team that YU was supposed to play Sunday, and apparently the game was canceled. and it's a 17th ranked team. Apparently they play like YU. So they're a little softer. They shoot a lot of threes. They're kind of like YU light, right? So now they're going to be better than the teams YU beats by 30. But in theory, YU might beat them like 96 to 88 or something, because they're both going to score a lot. But YU will be able to run their offense, and YU will be able to play the way YU knows how to play. And therefore they'll still look good and they could still win the game. This team, IWU, did not let YU play their kind of game, and it just took them totally out of it, as I said. So that's the difference. They just right away, it's like, oh, whoops, this is what we do. We can't do this. What do we do now? And what the only thing to do when they were playing this extremely aggressive pressure defense is to just attack the man-to-man, you know, because you just have to get an inch on your defender and drive to the rim. And when they did that, they scored. But these guys aren't used to doing that. You know what I mean? They're not going to outscore a really good team like that, just totally switching their complete style of play on the fly. And to like Halpert's credit, Halpert is a guy who's like shoots 53% from three on like five attempts a game. This game, I think, I don't know, maybe it was
one for
two.
Five.
One for five. Yeah. So, right. He hit one at the end. Right. So like, and they were harried, rushed shots anyway. You know what I mean? So like, he's usually like, he's a short
a couple
guy.
Of them were open that he missed.
A couple at the end. Yeah. Yeah. But usually,
Leifert missed a couple of wide open threes. Reef missed an open three.
Blasco yeah, but those aren't their main shooters. That's what I'm saying. The main shooters are Terrell. Terrell could hit a three of any sort, a wide open one, or a pull up with a guy in his face. And then you have Halpert, who's like a dead eye shooter, but he's like a stocky 5'10", and he needs like a second of space. And these guys weren't giving space, so he'd get it, he'd pump fake, and he would drive and kick it out and start again. Same with Lasko, the guy we talked about, who was the Division I player from Indiana, then Manhattan. He can shoot very well, but he needs to be able to set his feet and get it. You know. That kind of thing. And this team does not let you do that. But I was going to say, to Halpert's credit, he was then attacking the rim. He actually had some nice finishes, you know, at the basket. And it's not his game. He's short. You know, he's not super athletic or anything like that, but he was playing hard. And he did that a few times. But to ask him to score 20 points doing something that he doesn't usually do is very difficult. And that's what happened. So, yeah, but it was very fun. It was a lot of fun. The game, the crowd was bonkers. It was like 1,000 people packed into this little gym. And
yeah, I will say this. I think the reason Williams canceled the game is because why you claim they were going to limit the attendance, you know, because of COVID, and officially on the box score, it says the attendance was 650. There's no way that was possible. So
yeah, I didn't think there was an empty seat, and apparently it holds 1,000 people. So,
yeah, so
I don't know if that's why Williams canceled per se, but yeah, I mean,
well, you know, but I mean, they are very COVID conscious, and yeah, and just going, you know, going forward as we follow, I mean, most people probably listen to this never will, but you know, as for you and me and Akiva and whatever, following this team over the rest of the season, I think a concern is that there were only five players on this roster who attempted, Zucker attempted one shot. Other than that, only five guys on the team attempted a shot all night. And so, when they don't have all five of those guys playing at the same time, And they can't always. That means that there's always one or two players on playing who have absolutely zero threat whatsoever. Markovic, number 32, and Zucker, number 22, right. And Armstrong. Right. Like, these guys are complete, absolute no threats offensively. And so when you're playing an elite team, you know, they can sag off those guys, and which means that everybody else, the defensive pressure against them is just extreme. So anyways, this turned out to be a little bit longer than we were expecting. But, you know, thanks for coming on.
Once I start yapping, I think it's predictable.
Well, good to see you. And hopefully, you know, I'm not sure if we'll catch up to another one of these games this year, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah. So it's disheartening. I wanted the streak to continue. And again, I don't claim to be this long-term fan of this, you know, not real team, but all my teams suck and this team is winning. So I kind of glommed on. And when I glom on, I go all in. I'm no fraud.
When I glom, I glom.
Right, exactly. So yeah, it's upsetting, but so now they'll continue the season against the Skyline Conference teams, and they'll keep blowing them all out by 30, and they'll go 28-1 or whatever it is, and they'll win their conference tournament, and they'll make the tournament, and we'll see what happens. You know, maybe they'll see them beat a couple of like, let's say, you know, 30th ranked teams or 23rd ranked teams or 15th ranked teams in the tournament. But what I know, what I'm confident in saying is, if they get to, so I guess the goal is now to get to the Final Four. To me, that's the goal. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like where you don't have to face like an elite team in theory until then. But, and listen, then maybe you pull an upset. I mean, it's anything is possible. You know, like we said, maybe, you know, you learn what happened and you adjust and whatever, and anything is possible, but it's disheartening because like we didn't know, like for all we knew, YU was going to win this game by 30. Like we just didn't know, you know what I mean? And now we know. So it's, you know,
And by the way, I don't know if you're reading in Quillman, but like all of like the national Division III, you know, like the voters, for example, in the polls, for whatever it's worth, all of them are saying the same thing, which is that if these teams played again, it would be very close. So I don't know. You know, you and I don't have that conclusion, but these people have seen both these teams play a lot more. And the conclusion these people are all saying is that Wesleyan had played a lot of games like this in the past, and they had experience in why you just did it. So hopefully they're right. And I don't know. We'll see what happens.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take. They're being more generous than I am, but yeah
certainly. Maybe. All right, Jared.
Well, I want to apologize to everybody for that if you sat through that, but whatever. Maybe it's enjoyable. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Jared.
No problem. Have a good night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.